Hello, I'm Kimberly Dondo, Digital Content Manager, and welcome to the In Conversation With series, a series where I speak to notable figures in the realm of financial services. Listen as they share their personal journeys, thoughts on the industry, and advice for aspiring advisors. Hello and welcome to the Money Marketing Podcast. And today I am joined by Lawrence Behrman. So Lawrence, if you can give us an intro of who you are and what you do.
Sure. First of all, thank you for having me. So I'm Lawrence. I am a financial advisor for Ablestoke Wealth Management, part of Quilter Network. I sort of been in the industry for 3 years now, sort of working my way through from admin to power planner and now to fully fledged financial advisor, and sort of now just sort of getting ropes with things and sort of progressing my career from there.
Yeah. Okay. So as I always start this series, how did you get your start? What was your entryway into financial services?
Mine was kind of probably how most people say it, almost stumbled into the industry as mm-hmm. such. So I was at university in my final year, just looking for experience, obviously not knowing what I want to go into after. And I actually got introduced to a financial advisor who I'm now working with, and actually just did two weeks internship with him whilst obviously doing some other experiences elsewhere. And almost just fell in love with the industry, with the work, with how it works. And actually it almost aligned that he was getting to a stage where he was becoming over capacity and started to need to take someone on to train up, to pass clients on to, and to basically help him sort of manage room forwards and expanding room forwards. So I kind of dropped a message just towards the end of university and said, I know you mentioned this, is it sort of appropriate? And we had a conversation and it kind of just worked out from there. So kind of just aligned almost in the stars to work with him in the end.
Yeah, no, that sounds like a general kind of entryway, but not a lot of people kind of go into it straight off university. Do you think that worked out best for you kind of to set you up on this path, just working as an intern and getting that, vision, I guess, of what exactly this industry is about?
Yeah, exactly. I think the 2 weeks really helped to get an idea of what I would be stepping into in the first place. But then kind of the journey that I've gone on since feels right, because I've started from the beginning mm-hmm. with a sort of blank canvas. There's sort of no, haven't had any other experience. So I've almost been able to build up the knowledge from the get-go, mm-hmm. go through all stages of the industry, whether it be sort of starting from the beginning and admin side of things, moving through to power planning and then financial advice. So I think that journey has been quite nice for me. Arguably, it's been a tough journey at the same time. I mean, obviously with COVID that's been, and then also obviously what we're going through now with the cost of living, it's been some very interesting times for the 3 years I've been in the industry. But I think also challenging also helped me learn a lot as well.
So what did that look like for you kind of training and trying to become a financial planner during lockdowns and all that stuff?
Yeah, it was very interesting. So I started August 2019 mm-hmm. and so actually spent 6 months in the office and then the next year or so, everything was over Teams. So yeah. That could have been a disadvantage because you're not engaging with your colleagues as much. But mm-hmm. but I think with that, it's very much down to then you and what you want to get out of things. I was reaching out to people. I was making sure I was still engaging, whether it is just over Teams, and trying to ultimately learn as much as possible, because you do at the beginning, you don't know much. And all you can do is sort of as knowledge is power, just keep learning, keep listening to people, sitting in on meetings where I can, just to keep developing those skills. And I think it did help in the end sort of moving forwards, because it almost accelerated my career in a sense as well, because actually with COVID and how it happened, it almost gave everyone a bit more free time in terms of things. And it actually meant I could sort of get my exams done in the background, mm-hmm. which actually quite sort of worked out for me.
Yeah, I can imagine spending all that extra time when people were trying to better themselves. You were actually properly bettering yourself and getting your exams done. Everyone else was just picking up like different exercise stuff probably, but you were actually doing something that benefited you. So in those terms, it probably was like a really great time. So now that you've moved into being a financial planner, what has it been like stepping into kind of meeting up with clients, and are you doing that? Like,
yeah, so fully in the role now. It's not new to me because as sort of when I was doing the power planning work, I was still sitting in on meetings. Okay. I was getting a good idea of how it works, how you interact with clients, and getting the knowledge. So it wasn't a sort of a massive jump into financial advice. And I think that was definitely one of the best things for me. Was it was a very sort of smooth journey. It wasn't sort of I'm jumping from stage to stage, mm-hmm. which definitely worked quite well. And now, yeah, sort of sitting in with clients sort of every day now, interacting, sort of helping them move forwards. And definitely I feel that the experience I had from before has helped me get to where I have now, because without that, I feel like it would be quite very challenging to jump straight into the role.
Yeah. And you mentioned before that another issue that has just arisen is the cost of living crisis. And, you know, some people I've seen saying, well, this is not really something that would affect our clients because, you know, they're off a certain level, I guess. But have you found that there have been any concerns or worries that you're facing from your clients?
I think it's natural. That clients mainly want reassurance. Mm-hmm. I think they mainly want to understand what's going on, why it's happening, and how it could affect them if it's not necessarily affecting them at the moment. So it's very much talking through specifically their circumstance. And again, comes back to the plan that you would have put in place with them in the first place, mm-hmm. Of, okay, what are we trying to achieve? Are we still on track to do so? And is there any sort of major changes we need to make? In the grand scheme of things, I haven't had many clients ultimately affected because we've put plans in place to preempt this almost, mm-hmm. making sure that we have an emergency fund in place for any sort of rainy day sort of emergencies, making sure that any money that is invested is making sure that we can invest that for the long term, and making sure actually that money is directed towards specific goals and objectives, whether that be buying a home, whether that be supporting a family, whether that be retiring how they want to. So it's talking through that with my clients and making sure that we understand that and also are sticking to the long-term goal.
And are the majority of your clients ones that you inherited, or are they newer clients that you have acquired since you became chartered?
It's a mix of both, but it's now more sort of ones I've taken on myself. Mm-hmm. Obviously that I've been supported from my colleague, and he's helped me get to where I am now. And it's very much now driven from doing a good job, getting referrals from the existing clients I have, and building on that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm now getting to a stage where I'm very much sort of self building now.
Yeah.
And it's a nice position to be in, but it obviously did help to have that support in the first place. Yeah. Otherwise, you are completely working with a blank canvas. And for myself, it can be more difficult because naturally the network I know is of a younger demographic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And moving forwards, as sort of you move through later life stages, that's where we can add value more as an advisor when they have sort of children, when they want to buy a property, et cetera, moving forward. So that's where we can add our value mostly. And obviously the demographic I know isn't necessarily at that stage just yet.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. So in terms of marketing yourself, how do you go about that? Is that just kind of referrals, like word of mouth from other clients?
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to look at all different angles. So obviously Vouch4 has been a good help as well. Referrals mm-hmm. is ultimately the main driver. And then also just making sure I have a good online presence as well, whether that be using LinkedIn and just giving some insightful information out there. And just kind of making sure there's different avenues, and just making sure that the word is out there of who I am, how I work. Mm-hmm. because ultimately that's sort of what it is. It's just making sure that you are, people know what you can do, and it may be not the right time to have a conversation with me now, but in the future, hopefully they'll be the sort of, I'll be the first person they come to think of when they want to have these conversations.
Yeah. I find that really interesting that like now a lot more people aren't just kind of waiting for that person to approach them. I see a lot more, obviously quite a lot of my network on LinkedIn, especially is financial advisors. And I see them kind of like giving little tips and stuff like that, which then gets shared. And I find that really interesting that different people are finding different methods, even using something like TikTok, which you would probably not think is useful, but you never know who might be coming across.
I agree, although TikTok has got the good and the bad side of things. And I think that's where the industry as a whole needs to sort of address that if we can. Obviously, it's quite tough too, but there is a lot of misinformation on TikTok as well. And it's finding actually what is actually good information, what is also not good information. And that's obviously where an advisor comes in again, is adding that value, adding that knowledge, whereas versus someone that has kind of just created a page and may not actually be speaking exactly what is right for that person.
There's way too many charismatic scammers who say
that. there is.
I'm lucky enough that I have enough knowledge that I don't fall into the trap. I can see how easy it can be for some people, and it's quite sad. But you talked about how you set up your plan. So what is it that you do when you first meet with like a new client? What questions do you ask? Is it all technical, or do you kind of do more holistic based when you're setting up their plan?
It's always goal orientated. It's always what actually is the client trying to achieve, because that's ultimately that's how you direct advice, because every person's different, every person's got different goals. Not every person wants to make as much money as possible. Some people just want to preserve wealth, some people want to care about more their children. So it's finding out what their priorities are, what do they want to actually achieve, and then start thinking about a plan that actually we can put in place that to help that. So the majority of questions I am asking is around sort of what are your aspirations for the future, whether that be family wise, whether that be career wise, whether that be lifestyle wise, whatever it be, and then actually molding how the plan should look and actually understanding where they are currently. Are they going to be able to achieve these aspirations they have? Do we need to make any amendments, or do we need to actually make a proper plan to actually figure out how do we achieve each of these if we can?
Okay. And I find the conversation around kind of intergenerational very interesting, because I feel like there's some people who might miss the mark slightly in terms of when they have a client, whether they address the rest of the family. Is that something that you actively look to do as well, like not just having a conversation with your client, but maybe their spouse, their children, whatever?
Well, my client base at the moment is of a younger demographic, anyway, but that's definitely something that we're looking into moving forward. So for example, the colleague I'm working with does have an older client bank, and it's then thinking about, okay, obviously this new generation of people we need to start speaking to. And that's something we're actually looking into, is actually touching base with the children, let's say, even if they are too young to have an in-depth conversation, just understanding who we are, how we work, how we're helping their parents, and then actually maybe touching base again in 5 years time, once they're working properly, once they're actually understand what they want to do moving forwards, and building that, because ultimately this is first of all how we can help our clients and obviously their children, but actually from a selfish point of view, it's a continuity of the business as well.
You have to have good business sense as well when you're coming up with these things. There are obviously a number of skills that you need to be a successful financial advisor. What would you say are the standouts for you that have worked for you?
I think the most obvious one and the most important one is a good listener. Understanding, being able to understand what the client means when they say things, understanding how that affects them, and make sure actually you're digging deep into what they mean, and also how they feel about that their circumstances as well. So kind of building that, being a people person is definitely a key criteria of that. But that also, on the other end of that, you do also need to be able to have the knowledge to back it up as well. Mm-hmm. Because actually, part of our job, obviously, is reassurance, making sure that there's peace of mind for the clients. But the other half is actually making sure we're doing exactly what is right, getting into the nitty gritty of how do we make sure they're being as tax efficient as possible? How do you make sure that they're invested in the right assets, et cetera. So that there's finding the right balance between knowing your stuff, but also being able to explain that and also convey that in the right way to clients mm-hmm. as well at the same time. So it is finding the right balance, which I think can be difficult, and naturally experience and practice over time it is how you'd get there. But that not to say if you have one, you can't get the other anyway. I think it's very much this industry is actually, if you feel like you have the passion in the first place, the skills can come along with it. You can always work in the background for the knowledge side of things, do the exams, etc., and you can also develop people skills very easily at the same time.
Would you say that those people skills are quite easy to, like, for most people to pick up, or is it something that has to be learned?
It's a bit of both, I'd say. Obviously, being able to maintain a conversation helps in the first place, but you want to know how to direct conversations to make sure that you're asking the right questions with people as well. Because what you do find is that the first things that clients say aren't necessarily what they mean as well. It can be actually you want to dig a bit deeper to actually understand what do they actually mean, and also what's driving what they're saying as well. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's easy to develop those skills, but it's definitely something that once you get right can be very rewarding. Because actually, ultimately, what you're doing is helping that client moving forwards.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that that's something that should be included in maybe future trainings or something? I'm not sure if it is available already, but is that kind of interpersonal relationship kind of trainings where you're able to develop those relationships, navigate those conversations, know the right thing to say? Sometimes you're going to be telling bad news, so you probably have to, you know, like, I think, you know, doctors and nurses get taught how to, you know, break news. Is that something that you think financial advisors should also be learning?
I think 100% it should be. We actually have within Quilter, we have a person that sort of comes in here and there and actually teaches the sort of behavioral side of how we think and why we think and the feelings behind that. And mm-hmm. I think that's really invaluable advice, because it helps you understand how to phrase things in the right way, helps you understand why the client might be feeling the way they are. And it's incredibly important, because that can sort of help develop a relationship moving forwards in the right way. Now, I don't know how common that is. Maybe it's a one-off that we have Quilter have that. But I'd be surprised by that, because it is such an important skill to keep learning and continually learn, because it, like I said, can help relationships significantly.
Yeah, definitely. And kind of speaking on that, being a part of the Quilter Network, how have you found that to be beneficial for you and your colleagues?
I mean, Quilter are very good with providing resources for every kind of thing, whether that be on the knowledge side of thing or whether it be sort of the training side of things. I found that they have been very beneficial in producing content to help post on my LinkedIn. Like I said, they have these behavioral sessions as well. Mm-hmm. And also they're just very good in terms of the compliance side of things as well, because you want to make sure that the advice you're doing is double checked to make sure that is appropriate for the client, because ultimately you want to protect yourself and also the client at the same time. So having the right sort of network to do that is very good as well. So I found Quilter have been very useful. They've also been very good in terms of helping me as a younger advisor and making sure that I'm get to where I want to and having that support, which mm-hmm. has been good. So no complaints, I guess.
Yeah, no, that's really positive to hear. So for you, where do you see yourself taking this? Obviously, you've said that you have quite a young client base that you're working with now. So is that you're going to keep moving with that client base, maybe acquiring more?
I think I do find I can relate better with younger clients mm-hmm. because naturally there is that sort of commonality there. I see myself keep expanding, moving forwards, keep doing a good job for my clients and building that long-term relationship. I like the idea of having a client for the next 40 years.
Right.
Because I think that's where you can really add value. And also you can see the value you've added over the years to come, which I do like the idea of, versus the other scenario of where you have an older client who you may work for a period of time, but they may get to a point where there's less value to be added once they've got to a certain stage of their life. But ultimately, yeah. Most of my clients are at significant stages in their lives of promotions, of having kids, of moving forwards, and there's mm-hmm. a lot of conversations to be having around that, and I do find it rewarding to be adding value there. So yeah, but I see myself keep expanding. I don't see any sort of major change to the clients I want to be taking on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm in a sort of the right position at the moment.
Yeah, that sounds great. And so what would you say to someone who's kind of in a similar situation that you were, looking into getting into financial services? What advice would you impart for them?
I guess it's almost, first of all, don't knock it till you try it, but actually mm-hmm. just get in some experience where you can. So say, for example, it's someone in, say, an admin or power planning role. Mm-hmm. I would always say to sit in meetings where you can with advisors, just to understand, okay, what they do, how they do it, and is that something I could see myself doing moving forwards? Because it's not for everyone, financial advice, and you can easily make a great career or in doing a power planning role or administration, but it's definitely something to look into. And probably my advice as well would be to get the exams done if you have the time to do it, because getting that knowledge behind yourself is very good, and also it opens up doors to expand moving forwards, whether that be you go down the power planning route or advice route. You'll still need the exams either way, so mm-hmm. I definitely say that exams can significantly help and open doors moving forwards.
Okay, fantastic. Well, thank you for speaking with me today, Lawrence.
No, thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to In Conversation With. We do hope that you enjoyed it. Please do keep up to date with all our new releases via Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and everywhere else you get your podcasts from. You can also keep up to date with all our new content published on the Money Marketing website, as well as our print edition Money Marketing magazine. So make sure to subscribe. Follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next time.